I was thinking about the times that we're living in. There's a big change of just in my lifetime. Many people today that are unwilling to submit to authority with an attitude of nobody's going to tell me what to do. People are more violent today. I was noticing when we flew down to La Ronda for the funeral. Before, it was constantly, when we were in the airport, messages that I've never heard before in an airport. And it was like the president of the airline association or something. And he said, we have been having more violence than if you just read in the news recently or just for the past while. More violence on airplanes. You know, just people that are out of control and cannot do anything with them while they're trying to fly. And he said, we have passed laws now that you could spend, if you will not obey the rules, you could spend 30 years in prison. We're trying to get it strong enough that people can feel safe to fly. And I've heard that before. Just somebody gets agitated and cannot be calm down. And so they're trying to bring that to an end. Well, I thought about also the story in Luke 19 and 14. It said a certain nobleman was going into a far country to receive a kingdom and then to return. Who is he talking about? That was Jesus. But it said some of his citizens... It said his citizens hated him, and they said, we will not have this man to reign over us. You know, we live in that day and time today in America. When I was looking at it this way, when the Ten Commandments were removed and it's now unlawful to post them in public places, that was kind of saying the same thing. We're not willing for God to reign over us. That's in the world all around us. God, the creator of the universe, does he not have power to make a person do what he wants him to do? He surely got that power. He can make every one of us like a robot. We do nothing but honor him with our lives. But here's what he has given us. From Adam and Eve's time until today, he's given us a will and a choice that we can make of whether we live for him or whether we say, I will not have this man to reign over us. But from young people to old people today, we can just look around us at choices that are made and consequences that come with those choices. I am in control of the choice that I make about things. Which way I want to go. God lets me do that. But what I need to always remember is God controls the consequence. So is there a place that God tries to make me do something? Tonight I want us for a little while to look at a word. We don't use it very often, but it's in the Bible. This word is constrain. Is it possible that God can constrain us? Here's the definition. To urge irresistibly, powerfully compelled, forced, restrained, confined, bound, imprisoned. Now that don't sound like a lot of fun right there. Powerfully compelled. And we see the word compel in the Bible. When it tells us if someone compels you to go a mile, you be willing to go too. What does compel mean? To press on, to urge. And back then, if someone would force you to, you have to carry this for a mile, that was the only requirement. They could not go farther than that. But Jesus was saying, you be willing to go a further distance. You know what would happen in there? Is attitude can come along. You know, you could have an attitude of carrying something for a mile because you're forced to. And you could come to the end of it and say, you thought you broke me from that. I can carry it 2 miles if you want me to. But attitude would be real important there. Well, here's what I want. Does God force anyone? No, we're not forced. And yet he can constrain us. He can powerfully compel. He can restrain us. We can be bound. What are we bound by? I looked at a verse in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Have you ever had a cow and you make it lie down with a stick? I don't think you could do it. I'm going to whip this cow till he lays down. Won't happen. He says he's going to make us lie down in green pastures. How is that done? Are we forced? No. We're fed. I've got cows at home that I could never force them to lay down. But now the grass is turning green, and it's now growing faster than they can eat it. And you will see them walking all over, eating that grass, and you don't have to take a stick and say, lay down. After a while, they lay down because they're fed. So I was thinking about this word constrain. God does constrain us, but here's how he does it. I'd like to look in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians 5. Because we sang some songs even about it. Our God is love. And this is how he constrains us. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 14th verse. The love of Christ constraineth us. Now you turn that around and use that word constrain. His love urges me irresistibly. I'm powerfully compelled by his love that's shown to me. The love of Christ constraineth us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. We have a song, number 207, says, shall I tell you why I ceased from folly? Why I turned away from sin? And now it's time for my answer. You know, there was a time when I did the right things because I lived at home. And it was more peaceful to be at home if I did those, but I didn't have it in my heart when I was young. But you know what? I could have said, shall I tell you why I ceased from folly, why I turned away from sin? At that time, it could have been just because mom and dad are strong enough to force me to live the way they want me to live, but not have it in my heart. But then a change comes and it says, here's why. 'Twas because the love of my Redeemer fully won my heart to him. That is this constraining that comes, is when we see the love that God has for us. So does Christ drive or does he draw? Are we forced to follow him? There's some verses that I'd like for us to look at. In the book of John. Because I have tried before, and I may have told you, I was needing to move some cows from one pasture to another, and only had a few minutes to do it, and I needed to go somewhere. So I thought, that's okay, I know where they need to go. So I get behind them with a stick, and I chase them out of the pasture, and I know the other pasture that they need to go to. But it was like they also knew, and they were not going to go there. There's maybe 3 or 4 cows, and they would all head in different directions. And I saw, this isn't going to work. I am not going to get to my appointment that I need to go to. So I went back to the house and got feed. And I mean, you just rattle the bucket, and they're all interested. they come back. I could never go chase the three of them and get them back together even in one unit. But instead, now they all come back together. They're at the bucket now. All I got to do is walk along rattling the bucket, and they follow me wherever I want to go. Well, I look at this. Does Christ drive us? No, he draws us. It says in John 12 and 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." If through my death on the cross, it's possible then for all men to be drawn. Why are they not? Because we each one have a will. But as far as Christ's part, he has done his part, and his desire is to draw us. There's another verse that I want to look at in Jeremiah, the 31st chapter and the 3rd verse. "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Now, you know, we could look at the history of the children of Israel and say, wow, if that was loving kindness to let the enemy come and take them over for several years. You remember in, what is it, in Jeremiah 29, just before that, 29 and 11. "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You know what? The Lord has the same thing for us tonight. He knows his thoughts toward us. He has an expected end. And that expected end is that every one of us make heaven our home. So it says, "He hath appeared unto us of old, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." You know, there are a lot of songs in our songbook that will give us, that will preach a message to us if we will listen to what they have to say. Remember, Brother Lewis Williams would always tell us there at Monarch, there's a message in every song. There are some songs that we have in our songbook that has this message that we need tonight. One of them is song number 420. Because you know what? God has done his part. Christ has done his. But I need to behold the love of God. When I look at this song, "Behold what love, yes, love divine, the Father showed to thee, in that he gave his only Son, thy soul from sin to free. He gave his life to make thee whole. He shed his blood for all, to heal the body, save the soul, then come for mercy call. O depths of love to mortals lost, he suffered on the tree. Our only hope of heaven cost his blood, 'twas all for thee. The love of Christ is warm and free. We live because he died. His drops of mercy fall on thee and all the world beside. Such love cannot be fathomed. 'Tis like the boundless sea. His broken heart so wounded is bleeding now for thee." So I think about that. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I'm drawing you with loving kindness. So for us today, in this time, there are verses that we just will teach our children. But sometimes it's because we're so used to it. John 3:16 is one of them. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever..." This is available for everyone. I was thinking of the where it says the citizens hated him and said, "We will not have this man reign over us." You know, loving kindness is still to those also, if they will turn. And I was thinking of another verse in John 15 and 13. Because there's a place where he's showing us his love, and then he's looking for ours to return back to him. 15 and 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." But then he goes on to the next verse, "You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." What effect does his love have on me? what is the response that comes back in my life? I was thinking of this where it talks about constraining. Is it doing that in my life? Do I see, okay, I want to make heaven? There was a time where, and I still want to have that as a reason, I want to obey everything that the Lord has for me because I don't want to be lost in the end. That's good. But you know what? I also need to realize it's because of His love for me, and it turns around and goes back to Him. That's what's going to carry me day after day all the way through this life. Because here it starts coming back there in John 14 and 15. Now it's my turn for a response. If ye love me, keep my commandments. That's where my love is shown back to Him. The love of Christ constraineth me. And then there's another one in Romans, the 5th chapter. Romans 5. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. I was looking at what the commentary said on that. His love to us is the spring of all of my actions. It's the motive for my obedience. It's His love that has been shown to me. So then when we read, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, it's not an impossible thing, because I love Him for what He has done for me. There's a word called ponder. Mary did it. Says when she heard these things that the shepherds had brought to her, says she pondered these things in her heart, meditated on them. You know, we have a lot of things around us today that would like to fill my thought process full throughout the day. And it does not have to be sinful things. It can just be the things that are happening in life every day. But it would be very good for me to meditate, to contemplate God's love for me. Just, we see it in nature around us, but we also see it in Him sacrificing His Son for us. And what will my response be back to Him? I was looking again at a song in number. Remember the song we just had at 207, Shall I Tell You Why I Ceased From Folly? Well, this song tells us about how this person saw the love of God and what it did for him. Maybe this would be each of our testimony if we looked in the rearview mirror and when the Lord dealt with our heart. 233. While sleeping careless on the brink of an eternal woe, I felt the touch of the whip. No, I felt the touch of Jesus' love, and oh, it charmed me so. I wake with horror from the spell of Satan's dread control. My sins were sinking to me to hell. Oh, Jesus, save my soul. And then I start doing some thinking. I know my sins have pierced thy heart, oh, Jesus crucified. And now thy love is breaking mine. I bow to Him who died. How dark my prison house of sin, entombed in misery. But Jesus' love is shining in, sweet rays of hope to me. Shall I with heaven's offer blessed lie bound in sin's domain? No, I will enter Jesus' rest and crown the conqueror reign. I hear thy voice in tender love. You know, we don't have to be out in sin to be able to hear that. We ought to be able to hear His voice today in tender love. So sweetly calling me, thy dying love has won my heart. So the word constrain looks different now. Thy dying love has won my heart. I yield, O Lord, to Thee. May we each one, the things that we will face out in the future, I believe the devil would like for us to lose focus on what's the most important. But if I can see God's love for me, He wants me to make heaven my home, and whatever troubles come to me in my life, He will help me through them. What He does not keep you from, He will take you through. He has done that so many times. I was thinking about Paul. Had a lot of troubles come into his life. We get to read about those. How many times he was beaten with rods? How many times he was shipwrecked? How many times he was stoned? God's love for him. And yet he had something to say to us at the end of it. It's in Romans 8 and starts in 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Separate us from the love of Christ. What can happen in my life that would turn me away from His love for me and I turn back? And it gives us a list here. I'm persuaded. No. 35. Who shall separate us? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Gave a pretty big list, but then he said in 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Then 38 and 39, we each one, when we have difficulties come to us, we're going to make a decision. We're going to make a choice of which way we go with it. Here's his choice. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Fanny Crosby had a song. It's number 460. She worded it. Maybe seems a little strange the way she said it. But in 460, and I'd like for us to sing this song in closing, because you know what? When we realize who God is to us and how He's able to walk with us through these days. And then in the third verse, here's what she says. Let me love thee more and more. I've realized your love for me. Now, let me love thee more and more till this fleeting life is o'er. Till my soul is lost in love. You know, I don't want to go my way through this life and I only learn to love Him when I get to heaven. No, this says, till my soul is lost in love in a brighter, brighter world above. Every day, every hour, let me feel Thy cleansing power. May Thy tender love to me. What effect? Let it bind me closer, closer, Lord, to Thee. It's going to take more than just the rules to have a close relationship with the Lord. I'm going to have to do those rules. I'm going to have to keep His commandments because I love Him. And that love is, I love Him because He first loved me. I am thankful for His love. I realize that there are times when people want to only see God as love. But this is the first thing that we need to recognize. We need to also recognize, maybe in later messages, behold the goodness and the severity of God. This God of love one day will be our judge. And then if His love has not been able to constrain me, I will be judged on that day. But I want to love Him more and more till this life is o'er. I desire your prayers.